Go with me, if you would, now to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We just read Romans 3 for our scripture reading. And it told us how rebellious and how sinful and how guilty and how wicked every single one of us are, didn't it? It laid it all out there. It left us no room to glory or boast or everybody. None good, no, not one. Isn't that right? All have sinned. Filthy. That's all man is, right? Psalm 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Now that's wonderful, isn't it? That's wonderful. That is so immediately relieving. Just immediately relaxing. That is good news. That's good news. That is good news. Sin gets to us. Sin gets to us. That sin, our God has given every soul on earth a conscience, but especially his people. Our sin gets to us. Our sin gnaws at us. The guilt consumes us. And then we come in here and read, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no guile." David describes a man right here, and he uses four words to describe him: transgression, sin, iniquity, and guile. Four words. Those four words describe all of us. Every one of us. Not in theory, in reality. Not in theory, in reality. I don't want to view this tonight as a doctrine. I don't want to view this as the first point of the outline. Not in theory, in reality. Those words describe every single one of us. This is what I am, and this is what you are. Look with me, if you would, now at Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression." That's what God Almighty said. Show my people their transgression. The word transgression means rebellion. He gave these different words: transgression, sin, iniquity, guile. Transgression means rebellion. He said, "Show my people their rebellion. Remind them of their rebellion. Remind them of their rebellion." Don't turn to these, but Deuteronomy 9:24 says, "You have been rebellious against the Lord." And that's true, isn't it? That's just true. It's so sad to hear it, but it's just true. And again, I mean this. I don't want to view this as a doctrine. I don't want to view this at all as a doctrine. I want to acknowledge the truth before the Lord. I acknowledge the absolute truth before our Lord. In every possible way, I and we, this flesh, has rebelled against the Lord in every possible way. Well, I'm above that now. No. No. Well, I used to be, but I'm saved now. No. In every possible way, this flesh has rebelled against the Lord. Ezra said, this city is a rebellious city. And it's true, isn't it? This city is a rebellious city. David said, this is a rebellious generation. It's true. Isaiah said, this is a rebellious people. Jeremiah said, this is a rebellious heart. And it's true. Ezekiel said, it's a rebellious nation. And we have to admit, that's the truth. That's so. We have to admit that. Everything that makes up this flesh, this man, naturally, is a rebel against God. We have rebelled against His Word. He's laid it out so clearly for us. We have rebelled against His Word. We've rebelled against His will. Something happens, and the reason it happened is because it's His will. Isn't that right? Aren't all things according to His will? But as soon as it happens, we don't like it, and we rebel against it. We've rebelled against His authority, and we acknowledge it. We acknowledge our transgressions. We acknowledge all of our rebellion against Him. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 18. The next word that David used to describe this man in our text is sin. He said this is a sinful man. This man that he's talking about is a sinful man. Matthew 18 verse 7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. The word offense means sin. That's what it means. Sin is the actual committing of the offense. Rebellion against God brings the actual committing of offense. And we've all committed the offense. All of us. How many times does God say the word sin in this book? How many times does He say the word sin in this book? And what does God say about it every single time? Every time He says it must be punished. It must be punished. The wages of sin is death. Verse 7 again, woe unto the world because of offenses. If we leave this world without Christ, if we leave this world without Christ, I don't want to leave this world without Christ. I don't want to have preached for years and years and years and get to the end and leave this world without Christ. The thought just struck me. I'm certain of it because of history. I'm certain of it. I will preach to people for years who will leave this world without Christ. That's scary, isn't it? I pray it's not a soul in this room right now. If we leave this world without Christ, there's no second half to this story. Woe unto the world because of offenses, sins, the sins that have been committed. He said in verse 7, Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. They're going to come because the world is full of offenders, sinners. All they can do is commit offenses. He said, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Our Lord said in verse 6, the one before it, he said, it'd be better for that man to have a millstone hanged around his neck and for him to be drowned into the sea than to go meet God covered in offense. Covered in offenses. Every single one of us is covered in offenses. It's true. It's true. We can point the finger all we want to, but every single one of us is covered in offense. All the transgressions, all of the rebellion, all the sin, all the committing of offenses that has caused us to be something. Look with me, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Iniquity means guilt. It means fault. It means worthiness for punishment. Ah, offense committing nation. A people laden with worthiness for punishment, laden with guilt, laden with fault. He said, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. David said, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in guilt. I was shapen in fault. In worthiness to be punished did my mother conceive me. That's how I came forth. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2, verse 22 says, for though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, you can scrub and scrub and scrub much soap. He said, yet thine guilt is marked before me, saith the Lord God. I see your guilt. I see your guilt. He said in Exodus 34, I will by no means clear the guilty. If you're at fault, you will be punished. If you're at fault, you will be punished. And that's the key. If you're at fault, you will be punished. Rebellion, offense, guilt, it's all plagued us. It's all plagued us. It's ruined us all the way down to the core, to the heart of the matter. Not just on the surface. All the way to the core. Look at Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Everything that we've talked about that is wicked and sinful and deceitful, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above it all. Rebellion, offense, guilt, it's made its way all the way down to the core of every soul. The heart of every soul. Now let me show you something in Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9, verse 8, it says, Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. That word means guile. And he's about to describe what guile is and what guile does. This is guile. He goes on to say, one speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. And if that doesn't describe man, I don't know what does. He speaks peaceably with his mouth, but his heart is laying wait. His heart is waiting to attack. The amazing news of God's word is, David said, that man, that's the man David just described. That's the man David just described. The amazing news of God's word is, he said, that man can be a blessed man. Why that man? The reason is because of the blessed man, Jesus Christ the Lord. Go with me over to Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4 says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Who is thee? Christ Jesus the Lord. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto Christ Jesus the Lord. Every man that God chose is the man that David just described. Every man that God chose. Well, I'm going to choose him because he's a good man. Every man that God chose is the man David just described. Every single one. Blessed is the man that God chooses and causes to approach unto Christ. Go over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Why? Why is that man who approaches to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, why is he a blessed man? It's because David said that man is going to have all of his transgressions forgiven. All of his transgressions. Go back to the text, Psalm 32. Verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That word forgiven means lifted up, carried up, borne up. Our Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw to myself every single man and woman that my Father has given to me, if I be lifted up. Why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord do every bit of this for us? That song, why, that was sung at our conference. Why? Why would he do? Why, tell me, why was he there? I know he was there. I know what he accomplished for a filthy, rotten rebel, offense committing, guilty, at fault, guile-filled sinner like me. Why would he do that? It's because all of our transgressions will be forgiven. Every single one of them. Blessed is the man whose rebellion, all of his rebellion, has already been lifted up before God Almighty. And it's already been dealt with. Blessed is the man who has had all of his rebellion already dealt with in Christ. Already forgiven in Christ. That's a blessed man. That is a blessed man. Well, yeah, that is a blessed man, but it wasn't just my rebellion. My rebellion produced offenses. I've committed offense after offense after offense after offense. David said, "Blessed is the man who approaches and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of his offenses will be covered." Every single one of them. The word covered means overwhelmed, clothed. David said, "The man or woman who comes to Christ and trusts in Christ will be able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness." That covering flood of his overwhelming blood. That covering robe of his perfect righteousness. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who Christ was made sin for, that that man might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a blessed man. All this is going to come to light in the last day. It's all going to come to light in the last day. Men are going to be exposed for what we are by nature. God is going to be exposed for what he is by nature. And we're going to see some blessed people covered in the blood of Christ, covered in the robe of his righteousness. All that rebellion forgiven. Blessed. Why is this work of Christ such a blessing for men or women who are in this condition? Why is it such a blessing? It's because verse 2 says, the Lord will not impute. He will not charge that man or that woman with fault. He will not charge them with guilt. He will not do it because he cannot do it. That man is not worthy to be punished. Romans 8 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Cannot be charged, cannot be condemned. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I would love to hear the intercession that Christ makes to his Father. I would love to hear that intercession. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. None. Not only is there no condemnation, rebellion is forgiven. All offenses are covered. Can you imagine that? All offenses. You know how many offenses we've committed that we don't know about? The ones we know about are horrible. They're horrible. Can you imagine how many offenses will be brought up to men and women that they never even knew about? Things they thought they were doing good. Every single offense covered, every single one of them. No fault laid to the charge of God's elect. No fault. But David said, not only that, not only will all those things be so, David said, the man or the woman that comes to Christ and trusts in Christ is a blessed man or woman, because the Lord will not only do a work for that man or woman, he'll do a work in that man or woman. That's what we're waiting on. That's what we're waiting on. My sins are done. They're paid for. I cannot wait to experience that work fully in me that he has done for me. Verse 1, he said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There's no guile. The man or the woman who the Lord draws and causes that man to come to Christ, they're not only going to receive a new record, they're not only going to receive a new slate, they're going to receive a new heart. Brand new heart. He said, I'm going to take out that heart of stone. I'm going to take out that deceitful, guile-filled heart. Aren't you so ready to be done with this heart? A man wrote an article one time, and he was talking about how false preachers stand up and say, give your heart to Jesus. Won't you give your heart to Jesus? He said, what would God want with that old stony thing anyway? That old vile wretched, he doesn't want that heart. Aren't you so ready to be done with this heart? Aren't you so ready to have a new heart, a new spirit? One where no guile dwells. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No guile at all. He said, I'm going to take out that stony, deceitful, guile-filled heart, and I'm going to put in my own heart. That's the heart of flesh he replaces it with. The heart of Christ, the new man. He said, I'm going to make a brand new creation. A brand new creation. A pure creation. A clean creation. One that God will actually accept. One that God will actually accept. One that God will actually dwell with. One that actually loves Him. One that actually looks like Him and acts like Him. That's a blessed man. Our Lord said, I'm going to deal with what you are. I'm going to pay for what you've done. I'm going to take all your blame on myself. And I'm going to make you absolutely spotless. That's a blessed man. What do I have to do in return? What's the catch? What's my part of the deal? There is no your part of the deal. I'm going to totally deal with everything you are. I'm going to pay for everything you've done. I'm going to take all your blame upon myself, and I'm going to make you spotless. And all we can say is, to God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things He's done. That's a blessed man. Lord, make us to be blessed men and women. Make us to be blessed men and women. Cause us to see your goodness. Cause us to see your kindness. Cause us to cherish this. Cause us to desire this. Cause us to desire Christ. Lord, cause us to get on Christ and stay on Christ and never leave Christ. That's a blessed man. That's a blessed man. May the Lord bless us all. Let's stand together.